Paige Morrow Kimball et Lexi Simonsen. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Hi there. Hi, thank you.
Thank you for sharing the film. I've heard that the screening at Holly Shorts Film Festival went incredibly. Can you share a little bit about that?
We had a packed house. I think there was about 350 people in every single seat. You couldn't get a seat. The film was the opener film, which was exciting. And we got incredible reviews afterwards and a lot of feedback, positive feedback from the audience. It was great. Great film fest.
Lexi, I believe that you also attended the screening. How did it go to not only see the film projected at beautiful TCL in Hollywood, in the heart of the industry, but also to hear and witness the reactions from their audiences?
Oh, I actually was not able to attend Holly Shorts. I was so bummed. I really, really wanted to, but I will be attending the SAG festival in September. And I'm really, really excited. But when I have been able to view it with an audience previously. And it was really incredible. You could really feel the moments where people like kind of caught their breath, and you could feel the anticipation of the event. And the music really lent itself to that, the writing obviously, but it's just so special to be able to view work that you've done with an audience. You're so proud of it. And it's always just a really special thing to share the story that you've worked so hard on.
And you've been awarded for Best Actress before. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I was sorry, this is my daughter Eloise. I have been awarded Best Actress in a different film that deals with mental health. And it was just a very lovely thing. I'm so honored to ever be recognized for the work that I do. And I would love to see this film get some accolades as well that I think it absolutely deserves.
What was your inspiration, Paige, before making the film? You wrote it with a co-writer, and then you directed it. So, what actually motivated you to make the effort, but also to share this important story?
Well, when I first read the early version of Wait, which was at the time called The Day I Confronted Jamie Duffy, it was a very early version, but I was so taken by the story. Unfortunately, it was based on someone's true story. And I just could not stop thinking about it. I had two teenage daughters at the time. One was in college, one in high school. And I thought a lot about consent. And what our culture of consent is in this country, and how assaults are happening every day of the week. And I just felt this responsibility to tell this story that would move people, that would make and help people understand restorative justice, how important apology is, that would show people they do not have to carry the shame that doesn't belong to them, that they can heal and there's hope. And also, that we can actually, with this story, prevent assaults from happening if we can spark conversation about consent boundaries. And I just felt that it was time that this story be told. Jade Raven and I, my co-writer, we started the story together. And then I took it and created this extra character that you see in the film, the other Evie, as we call her. Evie is now 23 when we start the film, and we meet her at 16. And it's sort of this inner life of hers that's still stuck in the situation when this assault occurred 7 years before. But she becomes a character. So we worked very hard at creating that second character to speak the emotions that a 16-year-old may have experiencing this awful event in her life. And also, we also worked hard at not vilifying the male character, which I do think is really incredibly important because I wanted to reach the male audiences as well and not just make them a cardboard villain. Ian O'Brien so beautifully played the character of Matt, and there's so much nuance to that character, and he's deeply apologetic, even though he did this horrible thing. But I wanted to express that point of view as well. Are we forgivable when we've made horrible mistakes in our lives? Or are we done? And that's it. You're over. Your life is done. We are simply the sum of our mistakes. I believe that redemption is possible and that there is a life after this story about hope and healing for both characters.
You've worked before on commission projects, including for HBO and various channels. Can you share about why this was a good time? Because we all had Me Too, including in our country, France, and many others in Europe, I guess. Why was it, in your eyes, in regards to consent, the good time to make this short?
You know, I think it's sort of for me as an artist, it's where the passion takes me. It spoke to me in my heart. And I think it was the timing in my own life. As artists, we do what's important to us at the time. So having these teenage girls, I felt this obligation and this passion for this topic that maybe 5 years before I wouldn't have. I do think we're in this sort of post Me Too movement where we're hearing less of it and it's less in, the headlines now, but we have to continue this conversation because it remains equally as important. Assault is still a huge part of our world and it affects both men and women. It's not just a woman's issue. It's happening every single day. And right now, we're in this time called the red zone, which on college campuses is simply from the beginning of college in September through Thanksgiving, when most assaults occur. And so time is of the essence, Jenna. If we can change culture through our stories and through our passion and our hearts, we can do everything. That's everything to me.
I would like to ask Lexi how it felt to prepare for the acting part. Did it require any preparation? Can you walk us a little more through the process?
Yeah, I unfortunately have dealt with sexual assault. And so it was thankfully years ago, so I've really worked through it, and it just kind of came at a really great time in my life where I thought, it's kind of how Paige was talking about it just really worked with creatively where she was at. I am good friends with Amy Renee, the casting director, and I got sent the audition from her, and I just told my team, I said, I have to do this. I have got to do the short film. And so preparation-wise, Paige really loves rehearsal, and I really love rehearsal. So it was really, really lovely. We got to do some really good, just like good grounding rehearsals to get us kind of in touch with each other, in touch with the story, and we really found the boundaries of like, where can I go that's emotionally safe for me to explore into this while telling the story really well. And so yeah, it was a lot of just like it was a lot of perspective work. I did a lot of thinking, how is he receiving this? Where is he coming from? So that I also didn't make him the villain, even though in my story he was. So yeah, it was just a lot of like perspective work, and also just being where the character was at right there. A lot of body work, that was really important to me. I grew up a dancer. I am a dancer, and so it was really important to like feel what this like trauma and this hurt felt like in my body, and then going to younger Evie, what did that like pre-excitement, because she did really like him, then turning into this really like terrible thing feel like in my body. So yeah, it was a lot of rehearsal preparation, a lot of body preparation, but it wasn't like trauma mining, which was really nice. We really worked on it not just being this kind of trauma dump for us as actors, but also for us as an audience. We worked with the intimacy coordinator a lot on that. Of We had an incredible intimacy coordinator. Paige knows her name off the top of my head.
Heather Andresma.
Heather, she was fantastic. So doing that kind of prep work as well, of like what actions, what's going to tell the story best without triggering audience members. We want this to reach a lot of eyes and open up conversations rather than shut people down. And so that was really important in our preparation as well. So yeah.
Yeah. And I just will add, Jenna, if it's okay, for me, rehearsal process, you get your best as a director, you get your best ideas from your actors. And it's you mine those, and they merge with your own. Just this artistic approach of what you get from your actors is right there for you to use and to direct them in a way that feels personal. So I feel like through the rehearsal process, you really can find the best way to really understand the character for the actors and as a director, and to have places to go and to try different things. And with the intimacy coordinator specifically, it really mirrors a lot about consent. It was the first time I've worked with one as a director. I've worked with others as an actress, but as a director, it was so interesting because there are boundaries and there's consent and there's communication about consent. Lexi said very smartly in our last interview, she said, consent is a conversation. And in intimacy, working with an intimacy coordinator, it was really apparent that consent is a conversation, that my name is Paige. This is where it's okay to put your hands on me. This is where it's not. Everyone's different, and you speak about it. You speak it. If we can do that with consent, we can absolutely limit assaults. And that's what this film does as well.
And you are now on an educational tour with the film throughout America. Can you tell us about that?
Yes.
Where we can see the film now, and what you're hoping for audiences to take away from it?
Yes. So the film is available to screen on college campuses, organizations, and conferences really all over the world. Right now, we're finishing our film festival tour. I think we've gotten into our 11th. It's been very successful on the festival tour. But what I think will really make systemic change is this tour that we're taking, the screening tour. We call it an impact screening tour. And it takes the film to, as we said, campuses and organizations all over the world, hopefully, and sparks conversation. And we can pair that with panels. We can pair that with educational, talks. We can pair that with just conversation between sororities and fraternities, for example. So we have just launched it. It is available on our website to sign up for a screening interest form, and that is waitfilm.com, and that's WAIT film, FILM.com. And there's an interest form that you can fill out, and you can bring it to campuses and to organizations worldwide. It's launched on Kinema, which is as a platform for impact films. And I should say it's the wonderful thing about this film is it's a narrative film, not a documentary. It speaks its message in a really interesting modern way. It's not like an educational film that's boring or hits you over the head. There's a lot of area in this film, gray, that lets you decide what you want to think. And so it sparks conversation rather than dictates it. So it's a very interesting approach for campuses because it doesn't insult its audience. Honestly, it lets them decide how to, like, it just makes you think,
I
Lexi, did
also would like to add, yeah, I'd also like to add, I hope that especially with the male audience, the younger male audience, I hope that they can see and take away that their careless actions, what you might feel like in the moment is just like a drunken whatever, will ha take its toll on them as well. It's not just the person of the opposite or same sex, you know, it's so much more than just it affects both parties. It eats that kind of action, whether you really meant to do it with harsh intentions or not, can really eat away at a person. And I'm hoping that the male audience really thinks about just the way that their physical actions impact others, and vice versa, you know, a female audience as well. But I really hope that that takeaway, like that little decisions that might seem like nothing, can affect you just as much as it affects the other person. And I think Ian did a really, really beautiful job at showing, what this hurt and this pain can do to a person over time, the guilt that he carried as well over a decision that he doesn't even really remember. And so, you know, it's best to just literally wait. Just wait. And so I'm hoping that that will be something that's received as well from especially like the younger audiences.
Yeah, it's
Can
a
you share?
stop and think kind of way.
Can you share both of you, Paige and Lexi, few names from your team, from Paige's team, that of team members that really made this film unique?
Yes,
If
absolutely. Well, first of all, my co-writer Jade Rabin, who is just a wonderful writer and just felt the story so deeply, and brought it to my attention. Farin Dawezi, it's kind of an odd spelling, but it's Feron Deweese, Farin Dawezi, who's my co-producer. Also, my co-impact producer, Lisa Engel. She has been amazing in this second part of the journey. Then we have co-editor Jill Dagnenica. It's D apostrophe A G N E N I C A. It's hard to say her name, but easy to spell it. And she and I co-edited the film. She's a wonderful editor. She really took the lead on editing. And then, of course, Lexi's co-star Ian O'Brien. It's spelled with an E. EIAN O'Brien, wonderful actor. Lexi mentioned Amy Renee, who is our casting director, who is such a part of an important part of the process to find your actors and that they have a chemistry between them. Who else? Trevor Hooper was the DP and just really beautiful, totally calm on set, just a great cinematographer. And who am I missing? Production designer. And then Britt Breyer, who played who played the waitress, the voice. We wanted her to be a presence but not have a face. It was just she was there in spirit. She was also our AD and also just happened to look a lot like Lexi. So she was our stunt double in the car, our double when we have the two of them in the car together, both older Evie and younger Evie. Catherine Joy wrote a beautiful score for this film, very subtle, but so beautiful. And there's so many more people. I think, you had asked about Jenna, you'd asked about watching it in the theater. And it was a 5.1 at Holly Shorts and a beautiful screening. Excuse me one second. Hey, I am, but go ahead and dad is too. Okay, get dressed, honey. Sorry, she has an appointment. That's the younger of the two. It never ends, Lexi. Never
What
ends.
I was gonna say.
Get ready. What was I saying? Oh, hearing it in the 5.1, our sound designer, Jenna, Rob Marshall. It was like you could hear a pin drop. It was so vibrant and so such a rich experience, especially at the TCL Theater. It was really a beautiful. And then our colorist, Pierce Cook. Who else did I miss? Did I miss anybody? Our production designer, but her name is escaping me right now. That's
Did
terrible,
the
but.
short screen in Europe yet? Because I actually don't have that information.
Say again. I'm sorry.
Will there be a European premiere?
Not yet. I would love to bring it to Europe, but just our submissions are limited just because of budget reasons. But if you have anywhere you can suggest, Jenna, that it would be a good fit. We applied to Clermont-Ferrand. It's very hard to get into. The festival circuit is so saturated. It's a small miracle if a film does this well and rises and actually gets play. So I'm not as familiar with the European circuit, but I would love to premiere it in Europe. So I don't know if you think there are any great women's festivals in Paris. I've looked at a few of them, open to suggestion. We'd love to bring it there. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing. This was really inspiring.
We just lost
Thank you.
your audio. I wanted to just mention I don't know if you can find our production designer's name. It's escaping me at this moment, especially that I'm trying to think of it. But I know we mentioned a lot of names, but I'd love to not leave anybody out. So I don't know if that's possible to find it, or I can if you give me 1 second, I'll just look it up.
Me
Because
look.
again, this is not on this won't be on camera. This is just for your notes, correct? I just would love to add one thing. So thank you, Jenna, for letting me. I just want to say that in a cons sorry, this film, it's really important that to show that there's gray area in the way you interpret it. But in sexual assault, there is no gray area. It's black and white. Wait means no, just like no means no, just like I'm not sure means no. That it has to be heard, discussed, talked about, considered. That if people could just stop and think before a situation like this occurs, it could absolutely change the face of an assault from happening. And that's our great hope. Even if we help one person not be assaulted through this film and through the conversation that it brings and the black and white boundaries of consent and considering that, we can change lives.